Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this first day of December. And it's Monday. It's 9 o'clock, which means all things political. We have much to talk about, starting, of course, with the press conference, which should take place sometime during this hour, during which time President-elect Obama will appear with Senator Clinton. And this is taking place in Chicago as he names her Secretary of State. That should begin at 9:40 this morning, so we'll keep on top of that news and respond to what he has to say. Also, Robert Gates will be there, President Bush's defense secretary, who's going to remain at the Pentagon, and he's announcing Eric Holder, the former number two official at the Justice Department, as Attorney General, Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano, as Secretary of Homeland Security, Susan Rice, who was the senior foreign policy advisor during the campaign, as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, and retired Marine General James Jones as National Security Advisor. We'll be talking about this press conference and naming of the cabinet and looking at all of the issues that are political issues that the new president will be facing. It's pretty soon now, January 20th. Welcoming phone calls, as we always do. We have two guests with us this hour. Chase Martin, who's a regular guest, managing editor for the Iowa Independent. Later the hour, Kathy Cheney will be joining us, a reporter for the Chicago Defender. Our phone number, as always, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you'd like to send an email, that address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. And we start our conversation with Chase Martin, who's been with us all the way since Iowa, when we went to the caucuses in Iowa last January. Managing editor he is for the Iowa Independent. Hello, Chase. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Yeah, nice to have you here. So it's a big day for announcements. Let's start with Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. Why do you think he has chosen her as Secretary of State, Chase?
You know, that's a question that I think for the past 2 weeks has intrigued a lot of people across the country.
Mm-hmm.
She is a giant, and the one thing I think you can say about President-elect Obama's cabinet is he's picking a lot of big names. He does not appear to be, you know, he doesn't appear to feel threatened by, you know, other big, larger-than-life personalities, because, you know, Senator Clinton and her husband, I think you could count both of them among those ranks. From what I can gather, my best guess is I think he just wants every department of the government, but in particular the State Department, to be able to make news and get the American people interested in what it's doing when it needs to. I think that's the change that Senator Obama had been talking about from the beginning, in terms of, you know, getting Americans involved in their government again, increasing transparency. A lot of the solutions that he had in mind to a lot of the, you know, biggest problems had more to do with just, you know, getting the American people engaged in the process again than really any policy prescriptions. I think this is part of maybe his plan for that, just to keep Americans interested. Every department in his cabinet is going to be able to make headlines when it needs to.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I had to guess, I would say that's a big part of his strategy.
Do you see substantial foreign policy differences between them? Certainly some were highlighted, and they made quite a bit of their differences during the campaign.
Absolutely, and I think the most important of those, particularly for Senator Clinton as Secretary of State, is, you know, the disagreement, the pretty major disagreement they seemed to have over whether or not the United States should engage, in direct diplomacy with enemies like Ahmadinejad, for instance. That would likely fall under the State Department's responsibilities during an Obama administration, and Senator Clinton would likely be responsible for some of that work. And, you know, she objected pretty vocally to Senator Obama's plans in that regard.
So what does that mean as they go forward?
Well, that's a great question. Hopefully at this press conference we might get an answer to that. But so far, you know, I haven't seen anybody talk directly about that. It's been a question that's swirled, but, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
In terms of just seeing the two of them together, it's quite striking, isn't it, Chase? This campaign was not a pleasant one necessarily. It was very hard fought, and here she is, arguably the most important cabinet position, and it goes to his rival. It's quite something.
Absolutely. I'm almost as surprised that she accepted the position
yes.
as I am that he offered it to her. It was definitely a hard-fought primary campaign, probably a harder primary campaign than the general election was. So I agree. It is very interesting to see them together. We haven't seen them together really all that often, despite them having been on the same side since June. So I do think it'll be interesting to see this press conference today.
Right. And why do you think she accepted?
Well, I think that's, another one of those questions that maybe we'll get an answer to today, or maybe we won't. I think she certainly had her Senate seat for life if she wanted to keep it. So it sounds to me like she really did want to be a part of the Obama administration. Perhaps her presidential ambitions are over, perhaps she just feels like in 8 years she wants to be able to run, having been a member of Obama's cabinet. I'm really not sure.
Mm-hmm. The Clinton Foundation has said that it will publish the names of everyone who's contributed since its founding in 1997. How big a deal was it for President Bill Clinton to come forward with all this information that was required of him for her to get Secretary of State?
Well, to be honest, these were documents that the press was asking Senator Clinton for back during her presidential campaign. They were documents that Senator Obama said he, or was said to have needed during the vice presidential vetting process if Senator Clinton was going to be considered for that. The fact that during Senator Clinton's own campaign, she couldn't, her husband refused to release those records, despite the fact that it might have alleviated a headache that they had, flare up every couple of weeks or every couple of months during the campaign. And then during the vice presidential nominating process, former President Clinton couldn't be convinced to, turn over those documents. So for some reason, since then, for this state appointment, he changed his mind, or for some reason, the family decided it was more worthwhile or more important. I'm frankly not sure, but, I don't think the vetting process got that much less strict for the State Department compared to the vice presidential nomination. These are documents that, the president-elect or the former president could have turned over 2 years ago, 3 years ago, really, if he wanted to avoid the headlines during the campaign for his wife. But he waited until now, and frankly, I'm surprised that if he was going to do it, he wouldn't have done it, back when it probably would have helped his wife's own campaign.
Right. Another one that's surprising, perhaps, to me it is Robert Gates, Bush's defense secretary, remaining at the Pentagon. We've heard for a year. Is that what you're hearing, for a year?
Yes, I've heard similar, that the arrangement is pretty specific, and that unless something major happens, it would just be for a year.
What do you think of that choice, and why that choice?
Well, I think the one thing that perhaps those on the left who were with Obama early, like here in Iowa, are maybe being caught off guard by is Senator Obama really did seem does seem to be very interested in people who are competent more than anything else, and particularly for defense, it seems to me that he perceives that to be, if not his weakness, then that's the area of policy where he needs the most stability going into the beginning of his first term. I think it might have more to do with Gates' ability simply to push and pull the levers in the Pentagon, to affect policy rather than anything else. It sounds to me like he's going to have his own foreign policy team in the White House and in the State Department. And the reason why this entire group is being announced in tandem likely is because, he knows that there are going to be a lot of people involved in foreign policy decisions. And it sounds to me that Gates is going to be more involved in, reshaping the bureaucratic structure of the Pentagon than, actually being in charge of setting policy for, most of the, policy of our, even for Iraq policy, but certainly he won't be involved in much foreign policy outside Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Attorney General Eric Holder.
Well, he is one of those, another one of the names, the former Clinton administration names, that Senator Obama had been leaking out over the past couple of weeks. By all accounts, he's a talented attorney. His involvement in, the Clinton pardons, might have blemished his record, but it doesn't appear that that's the case. It sounds like he's going to be confirmed pretty overwhelmingly by the Senate, Democrats and Republicans. So it sounds to me like he's a competent attorney. The one thing that Senator Obama had said on the campaign trail before he won about what he wanted his Justice Department to do And what he wanted his attorney general to do was to reemphasize civil rights and to reemphasize sort of those core principles,
mm-hmm.
that the Justice Department had become known for instance, back in the 1960s. I think Holder sounds to me like a good name to help Senator Obama, sort of change the mission of the Justice Department from what he perceived during the Bush administration back to that.
Mm-hmm. Janet Napolitano, Secretary of Homeland Security.
Well, that's a real interesting one, and I'm more interested in how that's going to affect local Arizona politics, really, than anything else.
Hmm.
Senator McCain was actually the first out of the gate to praise that choice before it was officially announced by anyone, in large part because a lot of people think Napolitano was, the top contender to take McCain on in 2 years for his Senate seat. So it'll be interesting to me to see whether Napolitano stays in the cabinet for more than 2 years or whether she uses this as an opportunity to then go back to Arizona in 2 years and run against John McCain.
Mm, interesting. Susan Rice, his senior foreign policy advisor for the campaign, now U.S. ambassador to the United Nations.
Yes. Frankly, she was one of the most public faces of the campaign, particularly public foreign policy faces of the campaign, as far back as when we started talking, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, even back in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So I dealt with Dr. Rice a fair amount, just asking her questions on the campaign trail back during the caucuses. Frankly, a lot of us here expected her to get a bigger time position, although I've heard that President-elect Obama has elevated the position of U.N. ambassador back to a cabinet-level position. So,
mm-hmm.
This may be a bigger position than that. But
well, it's not a bad job, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely not. Right. And Dr. Rice, I think everyone who spoke to her, even back then, came away with a pretty positive impression of her.
Mm-hmm. And retired Marine General James Jones, National Security Advisor.
Well, it sounds like he's going to have his hands full.
That's right.
What I'm gathering from pretty much all accounts. He is going to have to manage a lot of pretty big, larger-than-life figures, and he's going to have to try to, direct traffic in the White House between a lot of people who are probably going to disagree about foreign policy. He's going to have the toughest job of everyone, and I think Senator Obama is going to expect him to, both help everything move forward and not get bogged down in arguments, but also, President-elect Obama likes to have multiple points of view in the room, and I think his challenge is going to be, keeping everything on track while also making sure that the president himself is kept up to date on what everybody thinks, even when it's not,
mm-hmm.
consistent.
And finally, I don't know if you've seen the cover of the New Yorker this week. You need to go online if you're a dog fan. What about vetting the dog? It's a great cover. It's just darling.
Yes, I did. I got my copy, I think, just yesterday.
Did you?
Just Saturday, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a great cover. I haven't even opened it yet. but the dog, I seem to remember this happening, several times in recent American history. The president's dog always gets this kind of attention, I think. But, every time we think it's cute, and we probably don't remember the last time it happened. So
we're going to welcome phone calls. It's All Things Political. President-elect Obama has some major announcements. Probably the most major, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton news conference in Chicago scheduled to begin sometime during this hour, and we'll get transcripts as they start talking and talk about what they had to say during this hour as well. Chase Martin is with us, and he'll be with us until 9:30, managing editor of the Iowa Independent. Kathy Cheney joining us a little bit later, who's a reporter for the Chicago Defender. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. Several lines open, and we'll go to your phone calls right away. So feel free to take one of those lines right now, 800-486-8655. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The second hour of our program today, the author of Lincoln, President-elect Abraham Lincoln and the Great Secession Winter, 1860 to 1861. Harold Holzer will join us. He is the co-chair of the U.S. Lincoln Bicentennial Commission and has authored or co-authored 30 books on Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. That's coming up the second hour of our program. Chase Martin is here now, managing editor of the Iowa Independent. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, and it's All Things Political. You're listening to this Monday morning. We start our calls with Mike from Appleton. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Hi. Two very quick questions. I wonder how your guest perceives the following. I'm sure the Israelis are watching all of this with a great deal of interest, and I think they probably feel that their support with an Obama administration is not going to be what it has been in the past. And I'm sure they're watching Iran very carefully. I just wonder what they're going to do, because I don't think they're going to sit there with their arms crossed to see how Obama handles the situation if Iran gets closer and closer to getting a nuclear weapon. And then my second question, comment, would be, by naming the people he's named, especially Gates, I get the impression that the Democrats are very worried about some kind of a terrorist activity taking, you know, place here in the States, and they want to avoid that at all costs for obvious reasons and also for political ones. Those are my two questions.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Sure. I think those are both fair points. I think Senator Clinton brings with her a fair amount of credibility, particularly in the Middle East, and in particular in terms of dealing with Israel. I think there are likely things that the Obama administration will be asking both sides to concede in the Middle East conflict. He perhaps thinks that the Clintons and Senator Clinton in particular will have some political capital that, you know, could probably help get some concessions out of Israel that they might, you know, that he might not be able to get otherwise. I think that's a fair point, and I'm sure that you know, weighed heavily on his mind when he was choosing a Secretary of State. Because obviously that's, you know, probably the most difficult part of the world right now for the United States foreign policy. So I think that's a, you know, a fair point and a good question to ask. And, you know, my answer would be, you know, likely Senator Clinton's political capital that she helped, you know, her husband accumulate during his administration would come in handy for President Obama. On the second question about retaining Gates, I think it's fair to say that, you know, the Democrats really don't want a Pentagon screw-up to be on their hands. And, you know, they would rather keep Gates in his position. And, you know, that way not only do they, you know, not completely own any possible dangerous activity that could happen, on Gates's watch, but the other thing is, if, you know, the war goes badly and Obama ends up withdrawing over the next year or the next year and a half, but, you know, it gets messy or dirty, as the opponents of withdrawal would say it'll, you know, how it'll be, then, you know, it's not all on Obama's hands. Gates, you know, if Gates is still in charge, then a lot of historians might still connect the Iraq war, even the withdrawal part, to President Bush as much as they connect it to President mm-hmm. Obama. So, you know, I think there are some historical reasons also where, you know, it'll be helpful to President Obama to, you know, be able to have Gates for a year, use him to do the messy stuff withdrawing from Iraq, and then have a new defense secretary after that who can sort of start clean after the Iraq war is over.
And then he has this other huge issue which developed over the last week, and that's what happened in Mumbai and relations between India and Pakistan. Never very good, but what another huge issue to have on the plate.
Absolutely. And if there is one country in the world that will actually like President Obama worse than President Bush, it's probably Pakistan, simply mm-hmm. because of the president-elect's rhetoric on the campaign trail in terms of, you know, making strikes across the border when necessary if Pakistan can't control its own, can't control everything within its own borders. That said, you know, the groups Obama was talking about targeting aren't necessarily in any way connected to these attacks in Mumbai, but, you know, I think that might cut both ways. It might also make Obama, more effective at bargaining with India, because India knows he's serious about, you know, keeping tabs on Pakistan and making sure, you know, and dealing with them in a tough way. So, you know, it could cut both ways, but if that region devolved into any kind of conflict, it would, of course, be very dangerous to the entire world, because both sides would have nuclear weapons.
Jim from Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yes, hi. The thing that I'd like to pose for the guests is the concept that other than public radio and a few other places, there really isn't much free discussion of a lot of issues in this country. And I'll just cite one example from Arianna Huffington's book, Right is Wrong. And in the chapter that she has, Dim Bulbs, Congress Low-Watt Energy Bill, she points out that in 2020, the CAFE standards will need to be 35 miles per gallon, which is the first increase in more than 30 years. And at that point in time, the United States will be way behind Japan, which has 46.3 MPGs, and China 43 MPGs today. Now, that just tells you how ridiculous our energy policy is, and the fact that this is not widely discussed and debated in the media, to me, is just another example of how lacking in freedom we really are.
Chase.
Sure. Well, you know, I think energy policy is going to be, you know, an important fixture of pretty much every, you know, solution that, that Obama is going to have to come up with, both to our, you know, economic problems, to our foreign policy. You know, energy is connected to all these things. And I think, you know, President-elect Obama is talking very directly about that, I think. But, you know, I completely agree. You know, I think our energy policy really is connected to, you know, pretty much everything that the United States does. And I think that, that talking about it is important. It requires a lot of compromises. You know, well, in Wisconsin, just as we do in Iowa, that there are a lot of agricultural interests that want to have their hand in this. There are a lot of industrial interests that want to have their hand in this. But, you know, I think right now the biggest opportunity is likely, you know, this reorganization plan that the big three automakers in the United States are going to have to come up with, you know, in pretty short order now. You know, it could and will likely have some plan in it to, you know, build more energy efficient cars. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if the CAFE standard and the renewable fuel standard both got upped, you know, on a schedule that was faster than is currently planned. You know, based on that and based on the other opportunities that President-elect Obama will likely have, you know, over the next year or two.
The plans here are huge, aren't they? When you just said that, I was thinking about all that really needs to be accomplished to take on these enormously complicated and important issues: global warming, jobs, the United States economy, changing the way we drive, changing our transportation system. And these are huge issues for a new president.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the one thing I'll say is, you know, having a president-elect who has been a senator from the Midwest, you know, as a senator from the Midwest, you become pretty well-versed in all this energy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps you develop some bad habits, some critics would say, in terms of ethanol and all that. We probably don't need to get into that. But, you know, I think it still makes you acutely aware of the economic development potential of, you know, green-collar jobs, for instance, and that sort of thing, because the Midwest is really, I think, the epicenter of all of that. So, you know, I think President-elect Obama has some experience working on those issues simply because, you know, those before he got elected president were the issues that mattered most to his constituents, probably.
Right.
So, you know, I think he has some experience dealing with that.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. Brad from Jefferson, hi.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello.
I just wanted to get your guest's reaction on the fact that many people see Obama as sort of an anti-war candidate, but he has connections to, like his Illinois finance chairman was James Crown, who is on the board of directors for General Dynamics, and also his wife, Paula Crown, was a big part of the campaign, and they are huge stakeholders in General Dynamics. And I don't think a lot of people realize that Obama in the past in his bills has secured a lot of money for General Dynamics, who makes a lot of weapons and weaponry for the wars. So I think I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. You want to respond, Chase?
Yeah. I mean, frankly, that's not something I know the specifics of. But, you know, I think to say that, you know, President-elect Obama is completely untethered to any interests, perhaps even, you know, some of the more unscrupulous interests in the defense industry, you know, is likely false. You know, I think everybody, to get elected president, you have to be, you know, connected to some people who maybe, you know, your biggest fans would prefer you weren't connected to. But, you know, that's a fair point. And I think, you know, the president-elect's answer to that would be, you know, I need the American people to be vigilant and continue watching. And, you know, so far he has responded somewhat well to pressure from both the left and the right when it came to these nominations and everything. You know, I think the way he wants his government to work, he wants to continue getting a hard time from the left, just as he's gotten a hard time from the right on some issues. So, you know, I think that's a fair point and one that, you know, I think he'll just challenge everybody to watch closely and make sure he's not doing anything, you know, particularly unethical or even illegal.
Mm-hmm. And thanks very much for the call. Chase, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a great pleasure. I feel like we've known each other for a long time.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks,
Chase. I feel like it's been a while since we last spoke, but I'm happy to speak.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been through a lot. Thanks, Chase.
Yep, thank you.
Chase Martin, he'll be joining us again as we begin a new administration here pretty soon, managing editor for the Iowa Independent. We're changing guests. We're just going to continue with all things political, and we do have our eyes on the press conference in Chicago, which has not started yet. It's evidently running a little bit late, so we will respond to what's being said as it's being said. Rhonda has her eyes on the computer, so she'll be typing out whatever announcements are made, and we will certainly respond to them here with our next guest. Our next guest is Kathy Cheney. And our phone number is remaining the same, 800-486-8655. So your calls still apply to this half hour. It's All Things Political for this first day of December. And we're talking about but feel free to move it in whatever direction you want, the announcements that will be made momentarily concerning Secretary of State, concerning the Defense Secretary and the Attorney General, Secretary of Homeland Security, U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, and National Security Advisor. Those announcements expected momentarily at a press conference in Chicago. And joining us from Chicago today now is Kathy Cheney. Kathy is a Chicago-based journalist and founder and managing editor of BlackFamilyWire.com. She writes for newspapers quite a bit for the Chicago Defender magazines, and also does co-production for a local television talk show. She is joining us now, and we welcome phone calls for her at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Hello, Kathy. Thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Now, I know that you wrote about the inauguration and how everybody's being asked for tickets. Do you have a chance to go?
So far, I am scheduled to attend, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, lucky you. So you got a place to stay and all of that, huh?
I've got a few options. There are a few very good options, so I'm not worried about that at all. I just want to make sure that I am there and can navigate through the crowd, because I know I will be like a small minnow in a huge ocean.
Isn't it something that there is this phenomenal interest in this incoming administration? Can you explain it? I know it's historic and all of that, but it goes beyond that. There are millions of people who are going to be in Washington, D.C. January 20th.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like you said, beyond the historic nature of it, it's just, I mean, it's exciting, and that's the personal Kathy. The professional Kathy is, you know, it's also exciting as well to be able to cover this, to document it, to just see children enjoy this and revel in the moment. Some of them know what's going on, some don't. But when they look back, they'll just, you know, they'll just be glad that they were there. They can say they took part of it. They can pass down you know, the stories. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful moment. I mean, you just see things changing. And I'm young. I'm 35 years old. And my mother, she saw, you know, everything through the Civil Rights era, through King and everything. And now it's like it's my turn to see everything. And then she's, like, excited that I have something that I can pass down to my children. And I know that everyone else is, like, feeling the same way. I mean, this is huge. The country is changing. I mean,
right.
There's that word change again.
Yeah.
But it's changing. It seems like it's changing for the better. And it's just like a new day. It's so refreshing. And I'm just happy to be part of it, to document it. Professionally and personally, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. What a time to be a journalist. Give me a feel. I don't know how to quite put this in words. I'm from Chicago originally and grew up in the Hyde Park area. And there's something about this almost hometown pride. I've always liked the city of Chicago and the work ethic of Chicago. And there's something about the Midwest and Chicago in particular that's going to Washington that fills me with this kind of corny pride. But there's also something else about it, that he's bringing some of Chicago with him to the White House, isn't he, in terms of advisors, in terms of what he's done in Chicago, what his values are, community organizing, et cetera.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, he is. And you say you're from Hyde Park, which is, you know, he's right there on the outskirts. So he's right there at the dividing line of Kenwood and Hyde Park, right on 51st Street. So, I mean, everybody is just beaming with pride. Everything is just full of Obama happiness. And like you said, he's taking a lot of Chicago with him. And some of that I kind of expected because, you know that you have good people around you. You want to keep good people around you that are well qualified, that will take care of you, that will have your back. And he is doing that. Desiree Rogers, David Axelrod. I mean, these are people that he's taking with him that have been with him through this journey and that he's going to continue to take with him. And that is what he needs. That's what's expected of him. And I think he's doing a great job. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing a great job of surrounding himself with positive people, people that work, people that know the ins and outs. That will help him. That will just make this a great administration.
What do you think of, obviously, the one that's created the most hubbub here, Kathy, is the Clinton appointment for Secretary of State, which should be announced momentarily in mm-hmm. Chicago. What do you think of that? Why did he go that route?
I think that, actually, I do think it's a good choice. There was so much friction between the two of them throughout the campaign. But I think that he put all of that aside and he recognized, you know what, she's qualified, she's very valuable, and she will be invaluable to my administration. Let me go ahead and put personal feelings aside if he had any type of ill feelings or, you know, anything like that. He put that aside and he remained professional saying, I do need her because she can work very well. She can help. She's an asset. And I think it's a good choice. I really do think it's a good choice because he's able to put any type of differences aside and look toward the bigger picture and have capable, qualified people in his administration that he know will get the job done.
Are there any expected announcements? We have many of them coming up fairly shortly here at a press conference in Chicago. Are there any that you find surprising, disturbing, or you're particularly excited about?
Not that I'm really concerned about the man at the defense secretary, the one that's currently in administration now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little wondering why he's going to keep him on. But actually, none of his choices are surprising to me. I'm not, you know, disgraced by anything. I think he's doing a good job of handpicking his people, and he has his reasons, and he hasn't failed me, you know, thus far. So I'm happy with the choices that he's making.
I know you've written recently about his successor, Obama's successor in the Senate. What's the latest talk about that over the weekend in Chicago and Illinois?
Wow. He hasn't been picked yet. However, our governor, Governor Rob Blagojevich, he kind of made a slip of the tongue on Thanksgiving when he was helping pass out doing some community service. And U.S. Rep. Danny Davis was also there, and he kept saying, Senator Davis, Senator Davis.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, he kept saying Senator Davis. So one of the reporters said, Senator Davis, like, have you made a choice and not let us know? So he admitted that that was a slip of the tongue. That's something that he doesn't usually do. He doesn't, you know, do any type of speculation, but he said he's well qualified. He's in the high list of, you know, who's going to be chosen. He's very high at the list, and him making that slip of the tongue and continuously calling him Senator Davis, it lets us think, okay, you've made your choice. It's him. We're just waiting on the official announcement.
Yeah, that's the kind of slip of the tongue you probably wouldn't do, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't
exactly.
Do that. Yeah. Let's welcome phone calls for Kathy. Kathy Cheney is a Chicago-based journalist. She does a lot of writing for the Chicago Defender. She is the founder and managing editor of BlackFamilyWire.com, and she is going to the inauguration. 800-486-8655 is our number. Zach from Madison is our next caller. Hi, Zach.
Hello. Good
Hi.
Morning. And I guess I wanted to say that as a progressive, I've been following the appointments very closely, and to me, it just seems like the whole dialogue in the country right now is between the center and the right. I mean, I don't see any bones being thrown to the progressive movement at all, honestly. I look at the appointments of people like Clinton, keeping on Gates, the appointment of Summers. I view these as all center-center-right appointments, and if she knows of anybody who is like represents a real honest-to-goodness bone being thrown to the progressives, I'd like to hear who it is, because I just haven't seen anybody yet.
And who would you like to see, Zach?
I don't know. I mean, I guess right now I've been so busy just researching the people that he's been announcing that I haven't even been able to come up with my dream list. I just know that nobody that he's selected so far would have been on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess That's where I'm at. And I was just wondering if your guest had, you know, anybody that she's seen that he's picked so far that she thinks is like an honest-to-goodness progressive.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Kathy?
Well, not really. I'm not really looking at it as a progressive, center of right, center of left, or anything. I'm looking at it in the way that I'm sure that Obama's looking at it, President-elect Obama, as the right people for the job. And that's how I'm trying to view it as well. I think that's what he's doing, and I just want him to continue on and choose the right people.
There have been some worries that he's picking people who are known to be extremely strong, people like Clinton, and that it may overshadow his presidency. Do you worry about that at all, that he's got a team of rivals, but he might not be able to control everybody?
In the beginning, I worried about that because the choices that he started to make, some were like during the Clinton administration, and I kept saying, well, I'm hearing too many, you know, Clinton folks.
Right.
But then during that time, Clinton had a good administration. It was good. So I said, well, I'm sure that there are some other people that could be in that mix, but if things worked during that time and those people are still available and it could still work, I really don't see a problem. And he's, like I said, he's surrounding himself with good people, and I guess I want to be a little biased with the Chicago part, with some good Chicago people that know how to get things done, that he will be fine. And then he's got Michelle. That's his rock. You know, that's the root of his tree. He will be fine.
I think she's going to be marvelous. I really do. I love to hear her speak. I think she's very strong. Whatever she's going to become involved in, military families, schools, whatever, I look forward to her contribution to American life.
I do, too, and I wouldn't be surprised if she's running for president after his 8 years are up.
You're already there, huh,
yes,
Kathy?
Yes, I am.
We welcome more phone calls. Kathy Cheney is our guest this half hour. All Things Political is what you're listening to here on the Ideas Network. She's a Chicago-based journalist and managing editor of BlackFamilyWire.com, does a lot of writing for the Chicago Defender. We have a couple lines open. Zach, thank you very much for the call. What do you think? Do you share Zach's worry, people in our audience, that there aren't enough progressives on this ticket? What do you think of the major announcements, which will be forthcoming? The press conference in Chicago is just a little bit late, but he will be announcing and appearing with Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton to name her Secretary of State, which is a remarkable turn of events. This news conference, where he will also announce Robert Gates to be Defense Secretary, he will stay on, and also Eric Holder, former number two official at the Justice Department, Attorney General, Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano as Secretary of Homeland Security, Susan Rice, Obama campaign senior foreign policy advisor as U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., and retired Marine General James Jones as National Security Advisor. What do you think of all of that? 800-486-8655 is the number, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, Harold Holzer will be our guest. He's author of Lincoln, President-Elect, Abraham Lincoln and the Great Secession Winter, 1860 to 1861, which looks at the 4 months between Lincoln's election and the inauguration. What a 4 months that was. Harold has written some over 30 books on Lincoln and the Civil War, and he is the co-chair of the U.S. Lincoln Bicentennial Commission. So that's coming up, hour number two. 800-486-8655, All Things Political. Kathy Cheney with us, a writer for the Chicago Defender and managing editor and founder of BlackFamilyWire.com. Mike from Milwaukee is our next caller. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
First of all, I have something to say to was in response to Zach. I guess, you know, I worked on Obama's campaign, and he was particularly interested in trying to avoid groupthink and receiving diverse points of view from people who may not be perceived as progressive or left or far left. Something that was key to sort of, I think, his own personal dynamic. So I don't know that, you know, that answers any of his questions, but um, I, I, that I don't know that he's changed in any way what he said he was really going to do. The, my question for the journalist is really more about the people, the actual individuals that are being appointed. Other than Mrs. Clinton, all of them are average, ordinary people in the sense that they don't have a multi-million-dollar fortune to go back to. If she's had an opportunity to speak to any of these people, what are some of the considerations that they think about as they approach entering a job where, obviously, this country is in some really dire need of excellent people, and they all are just that, excellent people. But, you kind of wonder where their personal careers are going to be after going through the meat grinder that we call Washington. And I'll take the comments off the air.
All right. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay. Well, as far as for the people that have been handpicked from Chicago that have been working with the campaign so far, I can just say on a personal level, they'll be fine. They are extremely remarkable people. They're very business-minded. They're in consultation mode. They've been doing things and have been in this business for a while. They will be fine. They couldn't pass up this wonderful opportunity. And I can only imagine that, you know, once this is over, the run is done, it will only get better for them. I don't think any of them are thinking like, oh, the economy's bad and, you know, once this is over, do I have something to go back to? Will it be as, you know, as good? They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They've made some strategic moves throughout their careers before this even happened, so they will be fine. They trust me, they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. I was reading something about David Axelrod recently. You mentioned him, and I think he's a really interesting guy. I guess that his business was extremely lucrative, and he'll be taking a huge pay cut to go to Washington. Mm-hmm. And yet you couldn't imagine him doing anything else, right, because he's been with Obama for so long.
Exactly. I mean, he used to be with the Clinton administration. So, yeah, I mean, and like I say, it's not the money. It's the passion for the job, and that's where you find the people that are really, really into this and want to make it work is because it's not about the money, it's about the passion, and they're willing to take pay cuts and willing to make the sacrifices. And, you know, sometimes that is what's needed in the business world, to have that drive, to have that passion, not have that whole money sense that it's all about the money. As long as I'm making a lot of money, that's all that matters. You have to have a passion for what you do. I love what I do. It's not about the money.
Right. I know what you're saying. We feel the same way here. Let's go to Dave from Madison. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I just kind of noticed. You know, we were talking about the center left and center right there, there's nobody from. I haven't seen any names from the labor community at all. I mean, there's some excellent labor economists out there, and they're not getting any representation in this White House. I haven't seen any labor anywhere. I know that they donated heavily to Obama's campaign, and all this talks about business people and everything, and I just kind of wondered about that, what you thought of that.
Mm-hmm. There's been some criticism of that. What do you think, Kathy?
I don't think he's done yet. I think he's still, you know, checking out and figuring out who he's going to put in certain spaces. I don't think he's done, but then he has a reason for everything. His team has a reason for everything. They're making some strategic moves. I think we'll see like a few more surprises, people that we hadn't thought of. And then once they're announced, we're like, oh, okay, that did make sense. I think it's coming.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the one that people are thinking of, too, in the Latino community is Bill Richardson. Do you think there will be a place for him?
I think there will be, but you know what? I'm interested to find out if he will get a spot. That's one name that I'm looking out for, too. I'm
mm-hmm.
looking out for that, too, because I think he deserves a spot, but it's not my call. But I'm looking out for that as well.
Mm-hmm. And what about, thanks, Dave, by the way, for your call, what about Chicago remaining kind of a Midwestern White House? Do you think that's going to happen? He's not going to take it to Hawaii, is he?
No. Talks keep pointing at, you know, he's staying right there in Kenwood, Hyde Park. That's his home. And I can see that definitely happening. I mean, that's where his base is now. That's where his family base is. And I think that's where it will stay. And, hey, I'm for it. I welcome it. I used to work at the community paper in Hyde Park, the Hyde Park Herald and the Lakefront Outlook. We did some special sections on him. And the community loves him. They would welcome him staying, even though they, you know, the barricades up and can't get within a few blocks if you don't live there. But people are still beaming with pride. They would welcome him staying there. Mm-hmm. Then there's also that extra sense of security, you know, law enforcement. That could bring a lot of people, you know, happiness. They'll say, okay, well, kind of don't have to worry about this, kind of don't have to worry about that. There's extra police around.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So, you know, there's just always a few people that are going to be upset about having to go a couple extra blocks to go around some barricades. But then, you know, you can't please everyone, and there's always going to be a few. But the majority, happy, very happy.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure they are. And there is something about bringing this incredible sense of hope on the part of so many Americans, even those who, it's interesting to see some of the Republicans respond to his cabinet mentions and possibilities, that there isn't a whole lot of criticism of this president-elect yet. And there is this, it puts a huge burden on him, Kathy, but this amazing amount of carry us with you, you know, keep our hope alive. Mm-hmm. It's a big burden for him, but I haven't seen the country in this frame of mind for a long time.
No, I haven't either. And like you said, there hasn't been, you know, sharp criticism. People are looking like, okay, he's doing what he said he's going to do. He's not going to, you know, one side more than the other. He's handling his business, and he's putting the right people in the right spots, and you can only appreciate that and give him credit for that. And I just think, you know, it breeds more confidence within the nation, and it's just a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. And when you were writing for the community paper, you said that there was a great deal of interest in him. When was this, and what kinds of stories were you writing about him then?
This was 2006 to 2007. It was the Hyde Park Herald Lakefront Outlook newspaper. And, you know, everything was just Obama. We were speculating whether he was going to announce he was going to run or not. In our newsroom, we kept going back and forth saying, well, yeah, we think he's going to do it because now is the time. If he says no, then there may not be another time or another opportunity where he'll be so hot and heavy that people will say, oh, okay, well, you know, yeah, let's do it in 4 years. And we just kept going back and forth, and our consensus was he's going to announce, he's going to announce. So we decided to start putting together a special section contingent upon the fact that, you know, he was going to announce his presidency or his, you know, his candidacy. And he did. We weren't surprised at all, but, you know, hey, we went to Springfield. We covered that. We talked to some of his old law students at University of Chicago, some of his professors. We've gone to the different restaurants that he loves to go to in Hyde Park, go to the ice cream shop. We talk to just everyday people, his favorite waitress. Just, you know, what do you remember about Obama? You know, did he help the old lady across the street in the snow? Did he help someone push their car out, you know, after being stuck? I mean, we talked about everything. We asked about everything. We wanted to know about Obama, the man. And it was a real joy just, you know, putting that special section together and working on it. And actually, people can go to www.hpherald.com, and you can download that special section.
Oh, really? HP Herald.
HP Herald, HERALD.com, and there's the Obama special section. Yes.
That's going to be worth something a few years down the road, right?
Yes, it will.
You know, you got all these collector items. The other person I wanted to ask about, because I know that he was extremely instrumental in telling Senator Obama just what you said. Now is your time. This is the time to do this. And that's Senator Dick Durbin.
Oh.
How close an advisor will he be, even if he, you know, he won't be in the cabinet in any way, but how close are the two of them?
Oh, they're very close. They're very close. And he was the main one. I believe that he came out first saying, hey, you've got to do this. We need you. Come on, do it. Go do it. Go do it. And Representative Davis was right behind him. Mm. But Durbin, he was the one that came out of the gate first, urging him to do so. And, you know, Obama listened, and he's done it. And I think Durbin, he's going to continue to say, okay, you know, what about this? What about that? I mean, he's very, very close to him, always going to give some good advice. And he's just, he genuinely cares. And I think that's what really matters most. It is not out for self-serving purposes saying, okay, you know, why don't you do this and then, well, since you've done this, why don't you help me out a bit? There's nothing in there that's self-serving.
Yeah.
Durbin is just completely genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Completely genuine.
Mm-hmm. So what stories do you look forward to covering in the next 6 months, Kathy?
The inauguration, of course. Actually, like the first family, I like to touch on more of, you know, Malia and Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to touch on more of Michelle and, you know, what she's going to be doing, what her role is going to be at the White House, how she's going to, you know, I guess kind of redefine the stay-at-home mom type thing. And I'd also like to touch on the first grandmother, since there's, you know, wide speculation that she's going to be living there as well.
Which, right.
You know, some of that, I hear that there's a lot of flack that she may be living there, and then that's going to be on the taxpayer's dime, and why, and that's not fair. And those are some things that I just don't agree with.
Right.
I just don't agree with that.
I mean, no, I don't agree with that either. I think it's great that she's going to be there.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
And if she wasn't going to be there, there would be a nanny or some type of caregiver there anyway. So
right.
I just don't see what that nonsense is about. But, you know, those are the stories that I look forward to covering.
Yeah, well, go to it. Thanks, Kathy, so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Kathy Cheney. Kathy is a Chicago-based journalist, writes for the Chicago Defender, and is managing editor of BlackFamilyWire.com. And again, she's at HPHerald.com. Go to the Obama section. That'll be fun to look up later today. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing The Hour, and thanks to Rob Schroeder for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. And thanks, everybody, for your calls. We have news coming up, and we'll return with more Monday conversation here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.